In the shadow of our collective nightmare, we find ourselves witnessing yet another episode of political theater that feels like a bad acid trip. Senate Republicans have embarked on a marathon of votes, not unlike a hamster on a wheel, chasing the elusive dream of advancing President Trump's agenda. It's as if they're trying to build a house of cards in the middle of a hurricane while pretending it's all under control. The Senate has decided to push forward with their own version of Trump's grandiose plans, focusing narrowly on immigration enforcement, national security, and energy production. Meanwhile, House Republicans are playing their own game of legislative Jenga with an all-encompassing plan that promises to tackle tax policy too. Because why not throw everything into one giant mess? President Trump, from his digital pulpit on Truth Social, cheerfully applauds the chaos. He wants both chambers to swallow the House's bloated plan whole, a buffet of policies served with a side order of delusion. Yet he still finds time to pat Senate Republicans on the back for their efforts in funding his border agenda. It's like congratulating someone for rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. And so begins the Votorama, an exhausting ritual where senators stay up all night arguing over amendments that will ultimately lead nowhere significant. Like debating which color to paint a burning building, this non-binding budget resolution is little more than political posturing. It doesn't carry legal weight, but serves as fodder for partisan bickering. Once this charade concludes, both chambers will need to reconcile their differences, a task about as promising as herding cats through quicksand. Even if they reach consensus on this blueprint for dysfunctionality, drafting actual legislation will be its own special hellscape filled with contentious negotiations stretching into eternity. In this absurdist drama called American Politics circa 2025, we're left wondering if there's any hope for sanity or reason when every step seems designed to ensure chaos reigns supreme. Welcome to our collective nightmare. Same circus, different clowns.
But folks, it's official. Mitch McConnell is hanging up his gavel and retiring from the Senate in 2026. And I know what you're all thinking, how will we ever survive without another elderly white guy telling us how to run our lives? But don't worry, there are plenty more where he came from. McConnell's announcement marks a major moment in Republican politics. Apparently, when an 83-year-old decides to retire after four decades of playing musical chairs with American democracy, it's a big deal. Who knew? Now let's talk about McConnell's legacy. He's been around so long that when he started in the Senate, Ronald Reagan was still trying to convince everyone that ketchup was a vegetable. And even now, Mitch is still fighting for national security priorities like it's 1985 and Russia just got their hands on our Walkman collection. But let's not forget his health issues, because apparently falling down is now considered a political strategy. The man has had more public falls than your average toddler learning to walk. Yet somehow, every time he hits the ground, he bounces back up faster than Trump can tweet at 3 a.m. And speaking of Trump, Mitch has clashed with him more times than Taylor Swift changes boyfriends. But hey, at least they agree on one thing, making sure Ukraine gets its fair share of American tax dollars while we argue over whether or not teachers should have pencils. So, as Mitch prepares to shuffle off into retirement with his wife, Elaine Chao, by his side, who I'm sure has her own set of stories about working under Trump, we're left pondering who will fill those turtle-shaped shoes in Kentucky? Andy Barr seems eager enough. Maybe he's hoping some of that McConnell magic will rub off on him like glitter at a preschool craft table. In conclusion, as we bid farewell to Mitch's reign over the Senate floor, and possibly gravity itself, let's take a moment to appreciate this quintessentially white people problem. Worrying about who'll replace an octogenarian senator who spent decades perfecting the art of doing absolutely nothing while looking busy. Only in America.
Ah, the sweet symphony of modern progress. NASA, our beacon of human ambition and exploration, now reduced to a game of bureaucratic musical chairs. In a world where we once dreamed of reaching for the stars, it seems we're more focused on who gets to keep their seat in the office. The space agency has managed to narrowly avoid mass layoffs by engaging in what can only be described as an intricate dance with the Office of Personnel Management. Who knew that saving jobs could be achieved through careful evaluation, a term that here translates to performance-based or voluntary exits? Truly a masterclass in corporate euphemisms. Meanwhile, around 900 employees have decided that deferred resignation is their best shot at securing a future paycheck while pondering intellectual property dilemmas from the comfort of their couches. It's comforting to know that even as they step away from their desks, these brave souls will continue contributing to NASA's payroll till September. A testament to efficiency and innovation, if there ever was one. The space community watches with bated breath, as the potential dismissal of over 1,000 bright minds threatens to echo the ghostly whispers of Apollo-era layoffs. Back then, we were winding down. Today, we're supposedly gearing up for lunar landings under Artemis. Irony abounds, as NASA outsources its dreams to private contractors. Because nothing says space race quite like fixed-price contracts and cost-cutting measures. As Bill Nye's Planetary Society raises concerns about this indiscriminate culling, it's clear that nimbleness is now synonymous with shedding experienced scientists and engineers like unwanted weight. But fear not, for according to Casey Dreyer, headcount isn't everything. It's all about strategic reductions, or lack thereof, that might just hinder our next giant leap for mankind. In conclusion, let us bask in this daily dose of dystopia, where space exploration meets workforce optimization, a tale as old as time itself. As we boldly go where no bureaucrat has gone before, one can't help but wonder, is this truly how humanity reaches for the cosmos?
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder life's most pressing questions while trying not to spill coffee on our existential dread. Today, we're tackling the mind-boggling world of birds of paradise, courtesy of an article from CNN titled Birds of Paradise. Yes, those flamboyant feathered fellows who apparently have more going on than just their snazzy looks. Now, imagine being a bird of paradise. You wake up in the tropical forests of Papua New Guinea and think, today's the day I'll finally understand my purpose. But instead, you discover your feathers are glowing like a neon sign in a Vegas casino under UV light, a phenomenon known as biofluorescence. It's like finding out you've been walking around with spinach in your teeth for years, except it's actually kind of cool. But here's the kicker. These birds aren't just flaunting their colors for human eyes. No, they're sending secret signals that only other birds can see. It's like having a social media account that only your closest avian pals can access. Because who doesn't want to keep their territorial disputes and dating profiles private? Scientists believe this glow might be used for communication or mating displays. Imagine if humans did this. Our dating apps would be full of people wearing UV reactive clothing to show off their best side. Hey there, swipe right if my fluorescent socks impress you. Dr. Renee Martin from the American Museum of Natural History suggests that this discovery is just one piece of the puzzle. And isn't that what life feels like sometimes? Like we're all pieces in some grand cosmic jigsaw puzzle where half the pieces are missing and no one bothered to include a picture on the box. Interestingly enough, some birds of paradise sport ultra-black feathers that make them look even more dazzling by contrast. A reminder that sometimes it's our darkest parts that make us shine brightest. Or maybe it just means they really know how to accessorize. And let's not forget Dr. Jennifer Lam's insight. Despite being visual signals, biofluorescence is often overlooked because humans can't see it naturally. Kind of like how we overlook our own potential until someone shines a metaphorical blue flashlight on us and says, "Look at you go." In conclusion, whether you're a bird of paradise or a human stuck in traffic, wondering why you exist, remember, life is full of hidden glows waiting to be discovered, provided you have the right pair of goggles or an existential crisis handy. Until next time on the Existential Crisis Hour, keep questioning everything, including why anyone thought naming something after Lucifer was a good idea for bioluminescent reactions.
In the capitalist's fever dream, Walmart emerges as the omnipresent temple of consumerism, an altar where Americans worship in search of deals that promise temporary salvation from the relentless beast of inflation. The aisles brim with essentials, groceries, and clothing, yet they are mere band-aids for a nation hemorrhaging under economic strain. The year is 2025, and as President Donald Trump's tariffs cast long shadows over the market landscape, even the titan that is Walmart finds itself bracing for impact. A forecast of slowed sales and profit growth sends its stock spiraling downwards, dragging along the Dow in its wake, a testament to how deeply intertwined this retail behemoth is with America's economic pulse. Walmart's projected slowdown serves as a harbinger for the retail industry at large, a canary in a coal mine signaling turbulent times ahead. Despite boasting resilient consumers and robust online operations rivaling Amazon's digital empire, Walmart faces an uphill battle against Trump's tariff onslaught. Tariffs on Chinese goods and hefty duties on steel and aluminum imports loom like specters over supply chains already stretched thin. The affluent class, those earning above $100,000 annually, flock to Walmart seeking refuge from rising grocery costs. Meanwhile, Walmart flexes its corporate muscle to negotiate prices with suppliers, a luxury smaller retailers cannot afford, leaving them no choice but to pass increased costs onto beleaguered consumers. Yet even Walmart admits it cannot entirely escape the clutches of these tariffs, as consumer sentiment sours amidst escalating prices, energy bills climbing like ivy up a wall, food costs gnawing at household budgets, the reality crystallizes. America is mired in an inflationary quagmire that feels insurmountable. Egg prices soar skyward thanks to avian flu outbreaks, a cruel irony in a land once synonymous with abundance. And while Walmart predicts normal inflation rates between 1% and 2%, such forecasts ring hollow when juxtaposed against tangible price hikes felt by everyday citizens. As Americans grapple with economic unease, polling reveals widespread dissatisfaction with Trump's efforts, or lack thereof, to curb living expenses. In this feverish pursuit of profit amid uncertainty and geopolitical tension lies an unsettling truth. Society teeters on the brink of collapse while corporations scramble to maintain their profit margins at any cost.